Daf Samach Vav Amid Aleph in Ksubis. 66A1, mamish all the way at the end of that page in the Schattenstein. A little bit above midway. It's like 15 lines down. Okay, and the Mishnah said it then like this. That is speaking what, when a wife has things, what the husband gets, what the husband doesn't get. Okay, so then it says like this. If a woman was embarrassed or blemished, so the first opinion, the Tanakhama says the money is hers. She keeps it. The Abudim and Beseda says no. If it's a hidden mum, hidden blemish, she gets 2/3 and the husband gets 1/3. If it's an open wound, the husband gets 2/3 and she gets 1/3. Remember, that's what we learned last time. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. The first opinion says, if a woman is embarrassed, or, you know, whatever the story was, so then she keeps it. Okay, like he says, if somebody beat somebody up, somebody beat up the lady, so you have to pay 5 damages, okay? So we're saying the bashis belongs to her, and the begam, the devaluation, depreciation, belongs to her. Rav Yehuda ben Beseda says no. If it's a hidden blemish, she gets 2/3 and he gets 1/3. If it's a revealed blemish, the husband gets 2/3 and she gets 1/3. Which means in simple English that when she gets embarrassed, it's the husband's embarrassment, according to him. The first opinion says she keeps it because it's, she got embarrassed, she keeps it, right? So now the world's going to ask a very simple question. Maskula. And 66A1. No, but in the middle of the, it's in the middle of the Gemara. Amid Aleph, a little bit above midway. Okay, so Maskula, Rav Bar Rav Chanan, so Rav Bar Rav Chanan asked the question, doesn't matter, I don't understand. Me'ata bayish sasi shechaveri. If somebody embarrasses somebody else's horse, you have to give the owner of the horse embarrassment. In other words, the Gemara is saying like this, she got embarrassed, why should he be getting it? You can embarrass somebody's horse, the owner's gonna get the embarrassment. I mean, like, where does it come from? And the Gemara says, so the Gemara answers right away, Vesus barbeishazu. Does a horse get embarrassed? And as you're asking a question, if a horse would get embarrassed, it would get the since when does a horse get embarrassed? No, so Gemara says Elo means, so Gemara asks a different question. If somebody spits at a fellow's garment, you have to give him embarrassment for his garment to spat upon. Okay? In other words, like this. Really, and the Gemara is going to ask, the Gemara is going to ask, you spit at somebody's garment. By the way, the thing is, if I spit at you, it's a degradation, right? So I'm embarrassing, you have to pay. It didn't hurt you, but nevertheless, I would have to pay, right? But the Gemara asks, if I spit at somebody's garment, would I have to give the owner for humiliation? And v'chitei machinami, maybe I would think that you do have to. But the Gemara said, but tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Rokak, if somebody spits at somebody else, v'giya be'araik, if the spit hits him, that means touches the person himself, or part of Reisha Isha. A man went and uncovered a woman's hair in the street publicly. You know, today would be an analogy, somebody rips off a lady's shaitel in the street. Or have talisi mimenu. Or you remove his garment from him and he's naked. Chayv litin li arba mea zuz. What's the embarrassment? 400 zuz you have to pay him. That means if you spit at him, take off a woman's hair covering, you take off a guy's clothes, 400 zuz. But, Amir HaPapa says in this Mishnah, Lai Shanu Elaboy. When do we mean that he has to pay this money if the spit hits the guy himself? Avol Bibigdai, but if it only hits his garment, Pata, you don't have to pay embarrassment. Yeah? So what did the Mishnah say? If something else was embarrassed, the owner doesn't get the money. So the Gemara is asking Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda, why if the woman got embarrassed? Does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda say the husband either gets 2/3 or 1/3, depending what they put? Why should he get to her embarrassed? Why should he get?
He's not comparing garment to the person.
Huh?
It's not the same. His wife, and you're comparing the garment of somebody, it's not the same thing.
Why? No. If I spit at your garment,
yes,
I don't have to pay embarrassment.
Yes.
I spit at your wife, I do.
Yeah,
oh, one minute.
That's what I'm saying.
No, 1 minute. Why is it embarrassment, not for the woman, for the husband? Why is he getting embarrassment money?
That's my boy.
Oh, God, take it. So the Gemara says, my answer is interesting. Bevigdai, when you spit on the garment, let's say Zelusa, the guy doesn't get disgraced. Ishtai, Ishtai Zelusa. But a wife, he gets disgraced. Mm-hmm. It's his wife. Okay? In other words, like this. The Gemara answers, basically, when you spit at a garment, there's no humiliation. But if you spit at a guy's wife, or you embarrass her, somewhere, then it would be embarrassment. Amalei Ravani, Ravina Ravashi, Ravina says Ravashi 1 minute. But I have another case, which is a problem. Alameyato, but now, Bayish Ani Bentavim, if one humiliates a poor man who comes from a very wealthy family. Yeah? The Isle is a loose little cooler b'nei mishpacha, where the entire family now gets disgraced. Okay? Why? Tesis explains. Because a wealthy family has a responsibility for their family. He has a responsibility to make sure the poor person, the family, is not disgraced. So the poor, they get disgraced. So Gemara says, Hachanami boyle meitin lubayshil chomini mishpacha. Are you going to tell me if I embarrassed Reuven, yeah, who comes from a very wealthy family, you're going to tell me if I embarrassed Reuven, I have to pay shame to the entire family? If anything, I have to pay it to him. Why should I have to pay the entire family? Penalty. The same thing with the wife. I embarrassed the guy's wife. Why should the husband get the embarrassment?
The penalty for shaming somebody wealthy is more than shaming somebody.
But this is a poor guy from a wealthy family. So he's asking, okay, I have to pay him. Why should I have to pay the family? They get embarrassed. By then we said, by a poor man, because the wealthy family is in charge of taking care of him, so if he gets embarrassed, they feel the embarrassment. Yet nowhere are we going to find that they have to pay the family embarrassment money. So why, if a wife gets embarrassed, does he have to pay to the husband? Why should he get the money? Amalei, so now that's an interesting thing, and this answers all the other questions from before. Hasam lav gufayu. You know why you don't have to pay the family by a poor guy in a rich family? Because he's not them. But ishtei guf yahave, this is what the Gemara says, wife is like the husband, it's one person. So if you embarrass the wife, you're embarrassing the husband.
So you have to pay her too?
No, so not... So then, the first opinion says she keeps the money. Bechlau, she keeps the money. The beautiful Mbeseda says if it's an open wound, if you make her an open wound, so the husband gets embarrassed more, so he gets 2/3 of the embarrassment money, she gets 1/3. If it's a hidden wound, she gets 2/3 and he gets 1/3.
Because he supports her too, right?
No, but the Gemara's not saying that. You see, it's interesting. The Gemara's saying more than that. Like the Mepharshim explained, now that the Gemara answers this, it answers all the questions from before. Bottom line, the Gemara's original question, why does Rabbi the Meseda say the husband should get part of the embarrassment money? She was embarrassed, not him. He said because a wife is a husband. Ishti kuku fedamya.
Not really.
Huh? It is.
But it's not. Why? Because if someone... what was the 400 Zeus? If he spit on somebody, he has to pay 400.
Right.
So if he does it on the person himself, he's 400. But in his wife, he's not 400. He's only one.
No, the Gemara's going to... No, you have to pay the full embarrassment. It's one person divided into two.
So you're dividing it.
Yeah.
So actually, it's like the same, 400.
Yeah, it's 400.
But you're dividing it.
You're giving them 400. Who gets what of the... So because it's one body, divided into 2/3 and 1/3, or 1/3 and 2/3. Depending if it was a open blemish, or or a non-open, non-revealed blemish. What?
Yeah, but if you spit at someone and it hits his jacket, that's also
the puppet said you don't, but you don't, it's not. Because you didn't embarrass him. That's what that puppet said. The only time you have to pay embarrassment for spitting at somebody, if I spit at you, yeah, at the ground. No. So then you don't pay Baishit. That's what the Rapapa said. Though the Mishnah says, when do you have to pay shame for spitting at somebody or uncovering their, taking off the clothing or whatever it is, if you hit the person. Stamay spit and on the ground and the guy, and so? It's not, by the way, the Gemara's not saying it's not humiliation. It's not a humiliation that demands money. Not every time I embarrass you, you have to pay money. I'll give you an example. You say something, and I prove you wrong. Yeah? Somebody says something, and somebody proves him wrong. So the guy feels a little embarrassed. Yeah? He was wrong. That doesn't mean you have to pay humiliation. Right? Every time. You know how much teachers would have to pay humiliation to the students? Okay, now the Mishnah says an interesting, it's a little, not mathematical, but it's interesting the way it, okay, when a couple gets married, okay, there's dowry that the wife's family brings into the marriage for the husband, right? Then there's property the wife brings into the husband, into the marriage. So some properties stay hers completely. The husband benefits from the profit. Let's say she brings in a field. So sometimes she keeps the land. The land is hers. The husband can eat the fruits of the field. That belongs to him in the marriage. Then, God forbid, they got divorced, so she gets it back. Okay? Sometimes there's properties that the husband owns a little bit, she owns a little bit. If there's devaluation, they both lose whatever. Okay? But the Mishnah says like this. A place... Nichsim Milug means she keeps the property, he only gets the profit. And Nichsim Mitzayim Barza, he keeps the actual land itself.
He has to support.
Yeah. Okay, so now the Mishnah says like this. Ha-Pesik Mois L'Chaisni. Okay? A guy is marrying off his daughter to a guy. He says, okay, you know what? I'm giving you $1,000 dowry. U'meis Chosni. And the son-in-law dies without kids. Okay? So now, the woman needs to do yibum. Right? Just to marry the brother-in-law. Can the father say, I don't want to give the brother-in-law the $1,000 that I promised his brother? Right? One way of looking at it is, the yibum, the brother-in-law she's going to marry now because her husband died without kids, is instead of him. Right? So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Ha-paisik mois l'chaisik. A guy pledges a certain amount of dowry for his son-in-law. Umeis chasnei, and the son-in-law dies, and now there's a din of yibum, right? So yochol, who the father-in-law could say to the surviving brother, lo'achicha, to your brother, hayitzereitzelitin, I wanted to give the $1,000 dowry. Ulocha, you have shalitin to you, I don't want to give it. Well? So the Mishnah is saying you don't have to. Even though, yeah, but l'cheira, the question, what's the Mishnah telling us? I'm giving it to son-in-law A, and now son-in-law B is in the place of son-in-law A. That's what the Torah says. Right? So that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah is teaching us that the dowry, the father-in-law has a right to say, you I like, the first guy I wanted to give it to him, to you I don't want to give it. Okay, that's case number one. Case number two. Okay? Paska lahachnes le elef dinar. The bride brings in money to the wedding, to the marriage. So she says, she pledges to the husband, I'm going to bring in 1,000 dinars, $1,000 of cash into the wedding. Who pays a kenegdom, chamesh esri mona. So he, in the contract of the ksuba, he has to write 1.5 times the amount. In other words, she brings money, $1,000 into the marriage. What does he write in the ksuba? That if I die or I divorce you, you're getting $1,500 back.
He has to.
Yeah, the Mishnah, he has to.
Yes.
Okay, now.
Did you get 15?
One second. Ukeneged hashum, but what happens if there's appraised goods? He didn't bring in money. She brought in furniture, right? $1,000 of furniture. And it was evaluated at $1,000 that she brought in. Then in the ksuba he writes, Paisig pochus chaymish. He writes a fifth less than the value of the furniture.
Depreciation.
Because of depreciation. Money, why by money for $1,000 he writes $1,500? Because money you invest, you make money. Goods depreciate. Right? So when she brings in $1,000 into the marriage, she says, I'm bringing $1,000 cash into the marriage, the guy could take the money and invest it. So therefore, what's $1,000 worth? The Mishnah says $1,500. If they're bringing in furniture or goods, they're appraised at $1,000. But by the time he's going to write the ksuba, pay the ksuba, death or divorce, how much depreciation do we have? So Chazal say fifth depreciation.
Even the next day you die.
Huh?
Even the next day.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And karka is the same thing as cash?
Yeah. No. No.
No.
No. Karka is a valuated property. Property also decreases in value, except in Beverly Hills.
Usually go up, no? Don't sell the karka, no?
No, the karka is more, you get.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Now. Shom b'mana v'shava b'mana. What happens though, if it was evaluated at a hundred, and it's taka worth 100, then ein le'el mana. Then he only gets a mana back. Because it was evaluated, in other words, the wife tells the husband, listen, and this is worth $100. And he checks it out, it's taka worth $100. He's only going to get the deed on the $100.
What is obviously different than furniture?
Huh?
Obviously different is than furniture.
Because like this, and this is what I was going to speak up now. Assessed, the Gemara speaks about this. Groom contracts to pay for the value were appraised at the wedding hall. Meaning like this. How did they know this stuff was worth $1,000? At the wedding hall, they made an appraisal. At the wedding hall, they appraise it for always much more than it's worth. Because that's the time of the wedding, everybody's, you know, so you appraise it for more than it is. So therefore, it's really not worth that much. So you depreciate a fifth. But if she said, not in the wedding hall, she said 100 and it's evaluated as 100, then he only gets the, you know, she can't pay him the extra depreciation. Now, what happens, shum b'mana, okay, what happens if the groom accepted the stuff for a mana, which is 100? Hine senesh shleishim v'echot sele v'dinah. She has to give him, okay, with that, that they're appraised at 31 sela and a dina, meaning 1.25 mana. Uba'arba meyes, if it's 400, she gives him 500. Basically, meaning, in this case, she has to give him a quarter more. Like we said before, the Gemara's gonna ask the same question, same case. Just, it's the same case as before. If it's evaluated stuff, she gives a quarter more. Or the depreciation is, right? But, so therefore, the Gemara is going to ask this the same case. They're just saying it a few times. and he says, Shachosin Pesach, why? Because when a chosin evaluates it, he pays a fifth less than the praise value. Okay? In other words, like this. Once they're appraised at the wedding hall, the chosin can write in the ksuba a fifth less. You ever go to appraisal when you need an appraisal on jewelry for an insurance company? You always hike up the appraisal. Right? Hello? Hike up the appraisal. But is that really worth that much? Not lying, but, more or less.
For everything, even for fixing the car for the...
Oh, for sure. Right.
Usually.
But what's interesting over here, the Gemara, the Mefarshim talk about L'chayra, why isn't... Why isn't this ribis? L'chayra, the first case of the Mishnah, I mean, not the first case, that I don't want to give it to your brother, to you and not to your brother. But when a guy says he writes in the ksuba 1,000, I mean, she brings in 1,000, and the ksuba obligates himself to pay 1,500. Why isn't that interest?
Is it the same their body, the same body?
No. No, so the Mefarshim say, why isn't it the ribis? He brings down from the Mordechai. Because the husband will pay this amount even if he divorces her immediately, so it's not interest. Interest is holding money for a certain amount of time. Right? If I borrow money and pay back the same day, why am I paying you interest? So in this case, he would have to pay that amount anyway, even though there's no time elapsing. Because this is the privilege for getting the money, not for keeping the money. Ribis is... interest is forbidden when you hold the money. But this is, he's paying, not because he's holding the money, because that's the privilege of having the money.
So it's okay to get ribis the same day? I borrow like $100,000, I need today, I give in the afternoon back.
Lepel, not, but this is different because it's husband and wife, like you were saying, it's a little bit different, not exactly that case. Okay, so the Mishnah is saying all these... Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, Amid Beis, Samach Vav Amid Beis. Tan Rabban, Rabban learned. Now this is going back to the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah says, a father-in-law says, I'm giving my son-in-law $1,000. Then he dies, and the guy has to do Yibum. So he could say to the brother-in-law, I don't want to give the money, right? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban says in the Braisa like this, Ein Tzarech Leimen, not only, it's self-understood, that if the first brother that died is a scholar and the second one's an illiterate, ignoramus, then for sure he doesn't have to give the money. This is, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Afilu rishin ha-ma'aretz v'sheni talmid chacham. What happens if the brother that the girl married was an ignoramus and the second brother is a talmid chacham? So l'chayda, he's worth more money. He should for sure get the $1,000 that the father-in-law promised the first guy. So it says, nope. Yochel Leimei could say, l'achicha yisiraitza litein. To your brother, I wanted to give the money, even though he's an ignoramus, and to you, I didn't want to give him. Meaning, it's up to the father-in-law. He promised this guy. This guy's not here anymore. It's his brother. Even if he's a better guy than the first guy, he has a choice to say, you know what? To him I wanted to give, to you not.
Isn't it
you know the Rambam's, I mean the Gemara says in Yevamah, but Rambam brings it down. What happens, a woman had a husband, okay, he dies, and he has to do Yibum, yeah? So it says, what happens if the husband was a tanner of hide? Now tanning hide was a very, very bad smell. It stink. It's dunk. Okay, so that even though And the brother is also a tanner. They're in a tannery business. She could say, I don't want to marry you, Yibum. She has to chalitza. She could say, I don't want to marry you. Because you smell. I, your first husband, smelled also. His smell I could take and yours I don't want. She could say that. I look at her, what's the difference? In this case, the guy promised his daughter's husband $1,000. Yeah? And the guy dies, and now the brother-in-law steps in. I mean, his brother steps in. He could say, listen, to him I wanted to give it to you, I don't want to give.
This is if he dies before the chuppah.
Doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Only the father-in-law can refuse this, or the
father-in-law?
The girl too?
No, what the girl?
The girl can't refuse.
The father, no, she could. Then she has to do chalitza. But here we're talking the father of the girl promised her chosin $1,000. And then he dies. So now the guy's instead of him. He could say, you I don't want, you him I want.
Can we say that the father-in-law is giving this money because of his daughter? So no matter who is the husband, it's going to be?
That's what the Mishnah is telling you. No, we don't say that. Nope. The father-in-law is choice to give it who he wants. Even though it seems that he gave it for the daughter, and now the daughter's marrying this guy, who cares? Nope. Not only that, it's Yibum that the Torah is making you marry him. The Chiddush is even Yibum. Let's say, no Yibum case. A guy, he didn't have any brothers. The guy had no brothers, right? So a guy marries this girl, there's no brothers, and he dies. Yeah? Okay, now the girl can marry whoever she wants. Yeah? So now they got this new husband comes, says, 1 minute, you promised the first husband $1,000 and he died even before they got married. So give it to me? He said, no, I don't want to give it to you. Ah, you gave it for your daughter, I'm your... No. Amish is saying even more, even when it's Yibum, when the Torah says you gotta marry him, and the Torah says the second brother is instead of the first brother, he can still say, listen, this money I wanted to give him, I don't want to give it to you. Why? It's logical.
Yeah, this is extra money, it's not the money that is
mechuzah. Right, it's not super money. Yeah. It's extra money. The father, listen, I have a choice to see you. I want to give you. I don't want to give. I can do whatever I want.
Is there a certain time period that the father-in-law is obligated to pay the money by, or if it's not by the wedding, it can, you know?
It depends what whatever condition was made. Usually, if he says, I'm giving it for the for the wedding, what is the lesson here? He's basically giving to bring into the marriage $1,000. So usually he has to pay it up by the wedding. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Paskala achnes elevdina. Now it says, if the bride pledged to bring in $1,000, okay, and if it's, so then if it's cash, instead of $1,000, you write $1,500. If it's goods, it's a fifth less. So Gemara says, Hainoresha, that's the exact same case as the first part. Right? It said in the first part, cash, you give $1,500, and you add one and a half. So Gemara says, Tonish Shumet Abba, Tonish Shumet Zuta. Meaning, big appraisal, a little appraisal. Tanah Shumah, the day we learn his case of his appraisal and her appraisal. In other words, the Gemara is asking why is the Mishnah repeating itself in the cases of adding a half, one and a half times the amount if it's cash, or a fifth less. The Gemara is talking him, her, a big well, that's it. Okay, next.
Nowadays money depreciates in the bank, and karka goes up around
it. Depends there.
Money depreciates in a bank if you don't get any interest, yeah?
Even if you do get interest, but if you invested in property, the property goes up.
The Gemara says in Saita, you invest in real estate, you go broke. That's what the Gemara says in Saita. Not anymore. Depends where. Not in Beverly Hills.
Or if you put all your money in it,
that's temporarily go broke.
Doesn't Rambam say only a third of your wealth?
Yes. There are people that lost all their money in real estate, everything from A to Z.
Yeah, it happened.
Okay.
The Reichmans lost their money in real estate. I mean, you know, you don't put all your eggs into one basket. You know what they say.
In Iran, they pay 18% interest in the bank.
In the bank. Here, you pay the bank interest when you put money in the bank.
18%.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to be like 25.
Why don't you move to Iran?
We just invest money there.
Yeah, well, they did.
Yeah, but the bank can go broke.
Yeah. What? Now the
bank
goes broke.
Go broke sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
It's and it's not the FDIC
or the government decides they need the money.
Not sure.
Shirt by whom?
There's no line here.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Now again, seemingly the Gemara's Mishnah is saying the same thing again. If a bride pledged to bring a money as dowry, Sala Nasa Shisha Dinar, her Sala, which is four dinars, becomes 16. Again, the Mishnah is saying the exact same case. She brings the money, instead of four dinar, it becomes six dinar. Hachosim Mekabal of Asarad Dinar. No, this is not a din. Hachosim Mekabal all of Asarad Dinar. But the Mishnah yet doesn't know what, doesn't explain itself. The Gemara doesn't explain this. Hachosim accepts upon himself to pay 10 dinars for her basket. L'chol mana umana she mevi. For every mana that she brings in, he's giving 10% profit. Okay? Reb Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, what are you talking about? And this is going in all the Mishnahs. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Akol Kaminig Medina, whatever the local custom is. If it's one, our Mishnah gave amounts. 1.5 for cash, minus, right? Appreciation, and for goods, a fifth depreciation. That's what our Mishnah basically said in all these cases. The cash cases was 1.5 times the amount, and the goods, right, was depreciation fifth. Comes along, Shem Gamliel says, you know what? It's not true. Whatever the law, the custom in that country, at that time, that's what you do. Okay? So now the Gemara again asks the same question. I know this again is the same case of Pesik Kenegdan Chamesha Simana. Okay? The Mishnah we just learned says for 1,000, you have 1,500. Right? 1.5 times the amount. Then the Mishnah, our Mishnah is saying, if she gives him 4 dinners, he has to give him 6 dinners. So again, it's 1.5. Like, what is the Mishnah keep saying the same case over and over? So the Gemara answers very simply. Tani Iska Rabba Ve Tani Iska Zuta. We learn big capital and little capital. 1,500 is a large capital. And then it teaches us small capital. Not only by big capital is 1.5 time, by small capital is also 1.5. And the question is, why do I need both cases? Tzricha. Itani iska rabba. I would think if it only say a large capital, then the person adds a half. The nafish avcha, because, listen, $1,000, is potentially a lot of money. You know, money goes to money. The more your money you have to invest, the more you're shaykh to make. So therefore, he has to pay it 1.5 times the amount. Because he's liable to make a big gain. Aval is kazuta de zuta rafcha, but if it's a small amount, 4 dinars, where it's a small profit margin, I would think, no, he doesn't have to give a half. Maybe 1.25, not 1.5. So tzricha. I let it say, iska zuta, and definitely he says, over there, the zuta, the expenses are low. Meaning, the risk is lower by 4 dinar than it is by $1,000. Right? The risk is lower. So therefore, iska da, nav is yuna, emet tzricha. In other words, like this. You have small investment, big investment. That's basically the two missions. First mission was a big investment, $1,000 he's bringing into the marriage, so he has to give 1,500. 1.5. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush of that case? The uniqueness of that case is, even though it's a big, a lot of money, where he can make a lot of money profit, he still has to give 1.5 times. Okay? What's the chiddush of the low one that you still pay of 1.5 times the amount? He says, a low risk, small amount of money is a low risk. So maybe I would think you have to pay more than 1.5 times. So it teaches us both. Okay, now this is easier Gemara. The Gemara says the chosin pays 10 dinar for her kupa, basket. Now we don't know what the basket is. Gemara says my kupa. So it says like this, Amar Avashi, kupa shel besamim. Meaning, for the amount of dowry she brought in, he has to give her a tenth for cosmetics, for perfume. That means if she brings in $1,000 dowry, yeah, the husband has to give her 10% of the $1,000 just for perfumes and cosmetics.
By the way,
Rav. Oh, one second. Vamer Rav Ashi, I was going to ask that question. Vamer Rav Ashi, this is only Yerushalayim. Why is only Yerushalayim? Because Yerushalayim, where women used to wear cosmetics. Meir Sharim. Outside Yerushalayim, they didn't wear cosmetics, so a husband wouldn't have to give it. In other words, the Gemara is saying, a woman brings money into the marriage, money, so the husband has to give her 10% of that money she brings into the marriage for cosmetics. Now the Gemara asks, monthly, daily, lifelong, when is the 10%? Boy, Rav Ashi, b'mana nishum or b'mana niskabel? What does he give 10% of? The appraised mana or the contracted mana? Meaning because it's a fifth less, don't forget. Or imtim Suleiman mana miskabel, what the contracted mana is, yom rishon, does he do it only the first day or every day? Like you're asking, right? One day or every day? Imtim Suleiman kol yom, if you say he has to give it every day, Shabbos rishayna, does it mean only the first week or every week from now on? Imtim Suleiman kol Shabbos rishabbos, if you say he has to do it weekly, chaydesh rishon or kol chaydesh v'chaydesh. Gemara is asking very simple, what you asked. The guy has to give it 10%. So Gemara says, what does it mean? Daily? Weekly? Monthly?
One time.
Or one time and that's it? Yeah, but you know what the Gemara answer is? The Gemara answer is, take him. We don't know.
Yeah?
Huh?
Why do we don't know?
We don't know? No, the Gemara's real question, according to Taisus at least, the Gemara's not asking how often he gives the 10%. Because that's ridiculous. You think every day he's going to give it 10%? In 10 days, he's gone.
Yeah.
The Gemara doesn't, that's not the Gemara's question, even though it sounds like that. The Gemara's question is, does he pay it out or does he pay a lump sum?
What? Does he pay his payments or
Zagam a Farsi, a lump sum. Got it? Good. In other words, like this.
Same thing you said.
She brings in, same thing exactly. She brings in $1,000 to the marriage. So he has to give her 10% of that for cosmetics. Okay, so the Gemara's question, he has to give $100, yeah? The Gemara says he gives her one lump sum. Does he pay it out weekly? Sach HaKol, altogether he's going to give her $100. Does he pay it out weekly, monthly, one lump sum? And that the Gemara says, take him.
Oh, so it means that only $100 is for his cosmetic.
Right.
Cosmetic, right?
Right.
For all her life?
Well, we don't know.
All her life?
That's the question is it installment?
Doesn't make sense.
No, that's the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't go past the year. But the Gemara goes past the year, but the Gemara's question is, that $100, 10%, and again, it's only, the Gemara's question, does he give $100 every day? That's ridiculous, no, obviously, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Gemara says she brings in $1,000, he has to give $100 for cosmetics. Yes? Now, that money is paid out when? Daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly? That's the Gemara's question, basically.
That's in addition How do you to pay the it? Other money the husband's paying her.
Yeah, this is just for cosmetics.
You know, but I mean, she can buy cosmetics out of the other money, too.
Yeah.
She
get.
I'm sure the husband pays for cosmetics, too.
Well, I'm saying so. That, I mean, that's normal, but this is in addition to that.
Some husbands wear cosmetics. Yeah, in the old days, they wore cosmetics.
Even in the new days in West Hollywood.
Tyson says, this discussion we just had is really what Taisus says. Taisus, have it to me as Selu. There's a lot of questions in this thing. If you're going to take it like simply, like we first discussed what the Gemara says simply, does he give $100 daily, weekly? So Taisus says he's broken in a few days. So Taisus says that's not the question of the Gemara. The question of the Gemara is, he has to give that amount. Does he give it one lump sum, meaning then it's her headache to spread it out as much as she wants? Or should he spread it out for her, a dollar a week, or whatever it is? But bottom line, that after the 10% is done, he doesn't give her anymore. Then he has to give, like Tyson says, what the Mishnah said before, based on what she was accustomed to. Wealthy family, not a wealthy family. But here the Gemara's question, this money is given lottery, one lump sum. The difference is, the lottery you get less. Here you get the lump sum, the $100, and she, the problem is, does she, it's her worry or his worry?
What is the defense?
Nothing.
That's what is the take. I don't know.
Yeah. He has to give it. The only difference is, there's no set minimum. After this money is used, then based on her lifestyle.
Her allowance, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, listen to this, Gemara, now. You hear what happens to very rich people when they lose all their money. This is a very interesting story, question. Remember there was a guy named Nakdiman Ben-Gurion, one of the three wealthy guys in Yerushalayim that was able to support the whole city for 21 years? Okay. The Gemara said like this, Maisa Bevita Shal Nakdiman Ben-Gurion, it happened the daughter of Nakdiman Ben-Gurion, okay, Shepaskul HaChachomim Abba Me'ezuvim L'Kupa Shal Psam L'Bebiyem. Chachomim, because of the wealth of her family, they gave her 400 gold dinars for that day. Okay? In other words, the husband died. What happened was like this. Nakdiman Ben Gurion's daughter got married. The husband died. She brought money into the chazak because she was a very wealthy girl, right? So Chachamim gave him 400 golden coins, not $400, 400 golden coins. Okay? For some on that day. So she said to them, she wanted to curse them. They said, this is what you should give your daughters. She expected more. She wanted more than 400 gold coins.
But that's a curse.
No, amen. They said, amen. Are you kidding?
that's a curse.
The husband died.
In other words, no. The Gemara is going to say, we're going to see later in the Gemara with Nakdiman.
Somewhere else recently.
You know what?
A few pages ago.
No. 1 second. Aleph. Samachay Amibes. Yeah, not long ago. In fact, the other page. Okay? So we'll see. They said after Zamein. Then the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan learned. Maise v'Rabbi Yechman Zakai. The story of Rabbi Yechman Zakai. Shai Reichev al Chamerd, he was riding on a donkey. Vayyaitim Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yechman Zakai, the famous Rabbi Yechman Zakai was riding out of Yerushalayim on a donkey. Vayyatamidim Mahalchen Achrav, and the students were following him. Okay? Story. Rabbi Yechman Zakai is on a donkey with a Talmidim behind him. Rodi Va'achas, he saw a certain girl. Shai Mesaleket Sa'edim, she was gathering kernels of barley amongst the excrement, the manure of the animals of Arabs. She was so desperate, she went into what the animals make, and she was taking out kernels of barley from this dung. Now, the girl saw the Bechman Zakai. Kivan Shirasa Ese, when she saw him, Nisatav Bisara. She covered herself properly. I mean, she covered her face. Va'amda Lefanov. She stood in front of him. She was embarrassed. Okay, that, look what she's doing. Amla, the Bechman Zakai, so she said, Rabbi Panasani. Rabbi, give me Panasa. Look what I'm doing. I need money. Amla, the Bechman Zakai said to her, Miyat, Bas Miyat, whose daughter are you? Another, who are you? Bas Nakdiman Ben Gurion ani. I'm Nakdiman Ben Gurion's daughter. Amala, so he said to her, Biti, Mamet Shabesavi Checha Halach, what happened to all your father's money? What happened to you? Look at you collecting barley from, dung. I mean, like, Amala, Rabbi, Leikadin Masdin Masib Yerushalayim. Don't they say a proverb in Yerushalayim? Melech Mamin Chasid. The salt of money is its deficit. Meaning, what she say? Salt is preserve. There's a preservative. She said, because basically what she said, because my father didn't give tzedakah, he lost all his money. Can you imagine? The Rabbi Yechman Zakeh said, where is all your father? He's super wealthy. He's the three wealthiest guys in Yerushalayim, yeah? She said, where's your father's money? She said he didn't give tzedakah.
He was doing tzedakah, no? He said, I'm ready to give one
tail. One minute. And other people say, she said, not chesed, but chesed. Salt of money is kindness. Meaning, if you're kind, that preserves your money. The salt of money, meaning what preserves money? So, tzedakah. So she said, v'shal beis chamich echenu. Where's the money of your father-in-law's house? Her father, not only her father was rich, right? She was not Dim Ben Gurion's daughter. But she married into a very wealthy guy. So Rabbi Yechon Zakeh said, okay, where's your in-law's money? Ba'azev, even as they barely wiped each other out. Now they both lost the money. Okay? When my father lost his money, my father-in-law lost his money. Amalah. So Rabbi Yechon Zakeh said to her, listen to this. Rabbi. No, I'm saying, Rabbi. She said to him, Rabbi. Zachar atak shechsamta ksuvasi. Do you remember, you're a witness on my ksuba. Do you remember what you signed on my ksuba? Amal and Tamir Rabbi Yechon Zakeh said to the students, Zachar ani, I remember. Shechsamti al ksuba shalzu. When I signed the ksuba, you know how much the ksuba was? Elef alafim din rezov mi beis aviha. 1,000 talent, 1,000 is 1,000,000, right? 1,000,000 gold coins from her father, besides what the father-in-law promised. Wow. So Rabbi Yechon Zakeh said to the Talmid, she said to him, remember how wealthy he used to be? Basically, she said to him, remember you said to make some? He said, yeah, the ksuba was $1,000,000 from your father, and not $1,000,000, $1,000,000 gold coins from your father, and more, and equal from the father-in-law. Well, besides what the father-in-law, okay. Okay. Now, Bocha Rabbi Yechon Zakeh. So Rabbi Yechon Zakeh cried, and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are the Yidden, Bezman Shaitzen Hussein Shalmokim, when they do the will of God, Ein Kol Uma V'loshin Shaletas, but nobody can control them. They're on top of the world. O Bezman Shaitzen Hussein Mokim, Shuratzen Shalmokim, and when they don't do what Hashem wants them to do, Meisim Biad Uma Shfala, he puts them into the hand of a lowly nation, meaning, they dwell in tents in the deserts. Not only in the hand of a low nation, but in the hands of the animals of the low nation. I mean, this girl is collecting money from animals. Okay? So this is the bottom line of the story. So the Gemara asks, Nagdim Ben Gurion, Le'ovit Tzedakah? How can you say Nagdim Ben Gurion? The Gemara said, forget about that story, the three richest guys. The Gemara says, or Tanya says in the Braise, Amrol of Nagdim and Ben Gurion, they said about Nagdim and Ben Gurion, whenever he left his house to go to shul or to yeshiva, kilimeles, hoyu, fine woolen garments would be under him for him to walk on. Meaning when he walked the shul, they rolled under his feet very expensive material. Okay, and he kept walking, the poor people came and rolled up the stuff and kept it. And they were very expensive shmatas. Right? Shmata business. Very expensive shmatas. So what do you mean he didn't give tzedakah? He gave this, give tzedakah. So Gemara says, one answer is like this. He did it for his own glory, not lishma. He didn't give tzedakah lishma. He did it because he wanted to be famous. Or another opinion says, yes, he did. He gave tzedakah, but not as much as he should have. And the Gemara said, like people say, based on the strength of the camel is the load. Meaning, what does that mean? Hashem demands from the person what the person could do. So yes, Nagdim and Mangoin gave a lot of tzedakah, but not what he could have given. Okay, just let's finish up the next piece of Gemara, because then it goes into a new Gemara. Tanya Amir Abelazib Rab Tzadik. Erev in a Chomer may see consolation. Okay? Meaning, he's basically taking an oath. Okay? Erev in a Chomer, Lady Isif, if I didn't see Nagdim and Ben-Gurion's daughter, Shayis Malaket, the same between Talfi Susan Ba'aku. She was gathering barley between the hoofs of horses in Aku. There's another similar story. Rabbi Yechman Zaki saw her collecting barley from the manure. And Rabbi Elazar Ben Tzadik saw her gathering barley from in between the horses' hoofs in the city of Aku. Kadosi Allah Mikrezah, as I said this pasuk about her. Im leitei the Yalacha Yafa Ban Oshim, if you did not know where to graze fairest of women, Zilach Be'ikvi Atzein, follow the footsteps of the sheep and grade your kids. Al tikri, don't read a gedisayich, your kids, al gviyasech, your own body. Meaning the pasuk says, if you don't know where to graze, you'll end up where she did.
What does that mean?
Huh?
That means if you don't know the graze.
A woman who goes to the feet of animal. That's how low she never stooped. You're going to go all the way down, meaning that you're going to end up collecting money from for horse hoofs or from manure.
So she says if you don't keep Tatum.
Huh?
If you don't keep Tatum. That's what Rashi says.
What are you reading?
But we're talking about the, her father. Her father didn't give tzedakah the way she should be. Why she should suffer? We're talking about the father, not the daughter.
And Achanan, why should she suffer?
She didn't have her own money. It was her father's
money. I mean, no, but why should she suffer now? Because she has to go so low because of her father.
But these rabbis gave her my support of her from her
on. It right? Seems they probably did support her. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't say he supported her or not. He just said he cried. Rabbi Yechman Zaki cried.
I think he gave her money.
Some children always suffer for their parents' sins.
Yeah, but...
If they follow
up to certain age,
right?
Do,
right? If they follow this...
52.
Path,
52.
Anything
on
to
our mitzvah? 20. 20.
6.
Okay.
Up to
20,
you don't get
punished.
No, Ben's in
Shemaila
doesn't kill
him. Up there, they don't punish up to 20.
Are kids punished because of their parents' avedis?
Yeah.
I'm only bar mitzvah, no?
Bar mitzvah. I guess.
Okay. That's